Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, and let's begin reading in verse 17 through the end of the chapter. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence from, with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. I would just remind us that we're at the point here when we read these verses when God had passed over Egypt. Remember, the Passover had taken place when God had told Moses to take a lamb and slay the lamb and take the blood from that lamb and apply it to the doorpost and the lintels of their houses. And when God passed through Egypt that night, he passed over that door. He passed over that house. And the death angel did not enter into that house, but into every house where the blood was not applied, we know that the firstborn in that house did die, from Pharaoh upon the throne to the maids in the kitchen. Everyone where there was no blood on the doorpost and the lintels, the firstborn in those houses, they all perished. And we see here that Pharaoh had pushed them out that night. After that last thing that God brought upon Egypt, that is the destruction of the firstborn, then Pharaoh and his counselors, they said, out, get you out, talking to Moses and the nation of Israel. And God led them, we read here, God led them, led the people through the wilderness of the Red Sea. I want us to see the place where they were. The Red Sea was before them, and when they crossed it, when they crossed the Red Sea, then they would be in the wilderness. Now, there were no roads. There were no roads through the wilderness for them to take and travel on to the land of Canaan. There were no guides that they could hire and pay to lead them through the wilderness to the land of Canaan. The wilderness is described like this: untrodden, trackless, and the way through it difficult to find. It being a sandy desert, as soon as a path was made, it was immediately covered with sand and to be seen no more. What was God's remedy? What was God's answer for them in such a condition? Here they are. They've got to go through the wilderness, and there's no way marked, and it is a wilderness of sand, and like the writer said, it was untrodden, a trackless way through it. What is God's answer? What is God's provision for his people to lead them to the land of Canaan? Well, it was a pillar of a cloud. Notice that, a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way. A pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way. Well, tonight, as we think about this pillar, I want us to see how it may picture Christ to us, how it does picture the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We're not going to force anything, but we know that all the Scripture, we know this from the New Testament, that all the Scripture, the Old Testament, both Moses and the prophets, they all wrote of Christ. They all, in some way or the other, wrote of Christ. And He, we must see as we read the Word of God. And a person can read the Scriptures and miss Christ, and if he does or if she does, miss everything. Because the Scriptures are given to us to reveal Christ, to show us Him. It is a hymn book, isn't it? I still love that. It's a hymn book. It's all about Him, about Christ. Well, I have three ways tonight. First of all, the pillar of a cloud was singular. It is a pillar. We don't read of pillars of cloud, but a pillar of a cloud. And that reminds us of this fact, of this truth, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There was one pillar of cloud, and that pictures to us this wonderful truth that God has provided for His people a Savior, but only one Savior. You know, it's not like there's several Saviors and you just pick whichever one you like and whichever one that appeals to you. No, there's one Savior. And there was one pillar of cloud that God provided for the nation of Israel. You know, the Apostle Peter in the end of his second epistle, he tells us there are some things hard to be understood in the writings of Paul. Remember that? Some things hard to be understood in the writings of Paul. Well, we know there are some things hard to be understood throughout the Bible, not just in the writings of Paul, but throughout the Bible. There are some things hard to be understood. Some people have a problem with that. But remember, this is the Word of God. This is God's Word. Think of who God is, infinite in wisdom. This is His Word. Yeah, there's some things hard to be understood. But there's one thing. There's one thing that is, as God said in the book of Isaiah, though fools, Though a man is a fool, lacking much education at all, though fools shall not err therein. There's things hard to be understood. But my friends, there's one thing in the Word of God that cannot be misunderstood. Right? There's one way. I mean, you don't have to have a college degree. You don't have to be a PhD. No, to understand that the Word of God declares that there's one way to the Father. Look at that verse in Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 8. This is one of the promises that God made through the prophets in Isaiah 35 and verse number 8. Isaiah 35 and verse 8, we have this prophecy, and an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring man, though fools, shall not err therein. Now, before the Lord's saved us, if you're saved tonight, before the Lord saved me, saved you, in our unregenerate days, our thinking was, yeah, there's probably many ways to God. That's probably true what religion tells people today, that there are many ways to God. We don't all go the same way. But once a person is enlightened by God the Holy Spirit, born of the Spirit of God, from the Word of God, that's never the case any longer. No, we're convinced, we know of a surety, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know that. There's one way only, and Jesus Christ is the way. Now, I looked at that verse, and I thought about a highway. A highway. We've all probably driven on trails, you know. Sometimes I remember in Mexico going out to villages, especially up in the northern part of Mexico, and I was with another missionary who I was driving, but he was pointing the way out, and you couldn't tell where the road was and where the road wasn't. I mean, but he knew the way. But this is a highway. A highway, a way that's lifted up. How that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When he said, and I, if I be lifted up. Now, he was lifted up on the cross, wasn't he? If I be lifted up, I shall draw all unto me. He was lifted up, as I said, first on the cross to redeem us unto himself. But now he's lifted up on high to rule us and to impart eternal life, to give eternal life to his people. There was a pillar of a cloud. One pillar. It was a pillar that was a shade. It was a column that evidently spread out closer to the earth, and it was a column that gave shade in the day to give comfort and to spare a person from the burning heat of the desert. You've traveled, I'm sure, where maybe on a beach or something, and the sand is so hot and that heat just comes up. That's the way that desert was. But here God provided this pillar of a cloud as a shade for them to give them comfort and give them relief. And isn't that a picture of Christ? As we go through this wilderness, that he gives us comfort and that he relieves us as we grow weary and experience the things of this life. It was a pillar of shade in the day to give them comfort. But it was also at night a pillar of fire to give them light. The Lord Jesus Christ, what I'm saying here is the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it's daytime or nighttime, that he is able to meet our needs. And he is able to lead us and guide us and to comfort us and to strengthen us. He's able to meet every need as we travel through the wilderness of this world. He's our comfort in days of trial, and he's our light in days of darkness. Look with me in this verse in John chapter 8. You're familiar with it, but let's look over here, John chapter 8. You know, this chapter begins, I think that first verse probably maybe should have gone with chapter 7. If you read where it says, and every man went unto his own house. Well, where did the Lord go? He didn't have a house, did he? The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Every man went unto his own house. Where did Jesus go? Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Did he spend the night there in prayer? Did he pray for you? Did he pray for me? He spent the night at the Mount of Olives. And early the next morning, notice, early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And I think as he came into the temple, the sun is just coming up. And, of course, they bring this woman to them, to him, rather. And it was all a plot, wasn't it? It was all a plot to cause him or to entrap him into saying something that would give them fodder to accuse him. They bring a woman, they say, who was taken in adultery. Now the law, and they point out the law says that she's to be stoned. But what they didn't point out is it wasn't just the woman. It takes two to commit adultery. It wasn't just the woman who was to be stoned. It was the man as well. But they don't bring him. No, they just bring this woman in. And remember, they asked him that question, and he just bent down and started writing on the sand. I wonder what he wrote. Again, that's one of those many things that God hasn't revealed. But I tell you what happened. He said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And he bent down and started writing. And those men, and it points this out, from the oldest to the youngest, they started disappearing. They started disappearing. And he asked her, "Woman, where are thy accusers? Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." He did not come into this world to condemn the world. He came to save the world. Amen. Right? He came to save the world, save his people, not to condemn. The world's already under condemnation because of our sin in Adam. "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." But now notice, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." And I wonder when he said that if the sun was just coming up. It was early in the morning. And you can just see the giant light in the sky. He's the Father of lights, isn't he? God is. The Father of lights, that is the creator of all. Yes, the stars and the moon and the sun and everything else. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." That pillar that we're looking at, it was a light at night. "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." As we see, it was a cloud to shade them by day, and it was a pillar of fire to give them light through the night. So the first point is there was one pillar. There was one pillar. There's one Savior. Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you look to him tonight as your Lord and Savior? Oh, I pray that you do. I pray that we all do. That we look to Christ alone. For only in him is salvation. As for the Israelites, only in that one pillar was there shade to be found and was there light to help them as they walked through the wilderness. Number two, the pillar of cloud led Israel to lead them. This was its purpose. If you look back in our text tonight, the purpose of this cloud was to lead them. In verse 21, it says, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them in the way." God provided this pillar to lead his people through the wilderness. When the cloud moved, the people moved. When the cloud stayed stationary, the people did not move out of the camp. Now, it's true tonight that you and I We don't live under a cloud like the Israelites did for 40 years as they went through the wilderness. We don't have a cloud to guide us, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't lead us. Not at all. No, no. He guides his people tonight. First of all, he guides us today by his word. And that is such a fundamental truth. God will never lead you. He will never lead me to do anything contrary to his written word. You know, I've heard over the years someone make statement like this, well, we prayed about it and we just felt like this was God's will. So we divorced and married someone else. No, no. God's never going to lead you to do something contrary to his will. And when I said that, I'm talking about people who profess to be Christians in the same church, members of the same church, and they prayed about this, and they divorced their spouse, and then and another couple, they did the same thing and married each other. God didn't lead them. God will never lead us to do anything contrary to his written word, his revealed will unto us. You know, one of the marks of a believer, a child of God, is a child of God loves Christ. Peter, in his first epistle, he said this, to you that believe, and that's how we're saved, isn't it, by faith. To them that believe, he is precious. Christ, he is precious to them that believe. One of the marks of a person, a child of God, is Christ is precious. We love to hear about him. We love to read about him. We love to sing about him. Someone said a message, a sermon that doesn't have Christ in it is a sermon that should have never been preached. No, Christ is precious to his people. But another thing that is precious to his people is his word, his written word. God's people love his word. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 6. What I'm saying is, as this pillar guided or led the nation of Israel, so God leads us. And he leads us by his word. I love this passage here in Proverbs chapter 6, where we read, beginning with verse 20, my son, Proverbs 6 and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, what is he talking about there? He's talking about the word of God. That's what he's speaking about, the Father's commandment, the law of his mother. It's the word of God, the written word of God. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Now, how do we bind the word of God on our heart? We read it. We meditate upon it. And we should commit it to memory. As the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Bind it continually upon thy heart and tie it about thy neck. I like to see scripture text, don't you? Plaques that some people have in their houses, sometimes on the wall or sometimes on a table. That's good, isn't it, to have that in your house and when you are day by day, you just glance there and the word of God. Brother Carl Pounds made me a plaque, and it's out on my back porch. And every time I'm sitting out there, I'm reading that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us. What a blessing, right? To read the word of God, to see, bind it upon thy neck, however you want to interpret that. Now notice, now when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Just like that pillar led the children of Israel, the word of God, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, we can lay ourselves down in safety. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And this is what I really like. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. The word of God speaks to us, not an audible voice, no. But things are brought to our memory. The word of God is brought to our memory. For the word of God is a lamp. When you're traveling in the dark, that's what you need, right? A flashlight, light. The word of God is a lamp. And the law is light. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Now, here we just read there's one particular sin which is mentioned. The word of God will keep you from that particular sin that is uncleanness, adultery, and fornication. It'll witness against that. But that's just one or two sins. The word of God will keep us from other sins as well. My wife and I listened to a very short devotional the other day, and it was about covetousness. And I think it was about 2 minutes long, but basically, they were just reading the scripture about covetousness. That's a wicked sin, isn't it? It's idolatry. A lot of people, they think nothing about it. It can be easily hidden. Covetousness can. But listen, Ephesians 5 and verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity and covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Colossians 3 and verse 5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthy in you, and covetousness, which is idolatry. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 and 2. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Yes, the Lord leads us, just like he led the children of Israel, not with a pillar of cloud for us, but by his word. And number two, he leads us, he guides us by his providence. And you know, providence is always singular. We never read of providences. Providence is always singular. What is it? It is the outworking of God's decreed purposes. Providence is. And God guides us by his providence. And I'm not going to take the time, but what a wonderful example we have of this in the servant of Abraham, Eliezer. Abraham sent him on a mission to find Isaac a bride, to get Isaac a bride, remember. And there he goes off with all those camels and jewels and all that other stuff he had to take with him. And he comes to the place where he knew Abraham's kinfolk came from. And who comes out to meet him but Rebekah? Comes out to guide the water of the camels. You say, well, that was lucky. No. Well, that was accidental. No. No. It was providential. It was God's providence. And that's what he admitted to. He said this, I've been in the way. And when you look at that, he said, I being in the way, what was his way? He prayed. He prayed. That was the way. He sought God's direction. He prayed. And he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Well, how providential that was. Think about Joseph when his brothers wanted to kill him. And I believe it was the oldest brother, Reuben, who said, no, let's put him in that pit. Well, you know, those pits usually were filled with water. But that pit wasn't. That pit wasn't. No. And then those Ishmaelites, I believe they're called, just coming across the desert, you know, traders traveling from country to country, trading in spices and things like that. And they just happened to come up at the perfect time, and Joseph is sold away. And that's all God's working out his purpose, isn't it? Providence. And God guides us by his providence. We have that wonderful example in the book of Esther, where that Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, he couldn't sleep. Couldn't sleep one night. And so he decides he wants to hear the Chronicles read. The most boring thing probably you could think of to read to put you to sleep. But no, they just happened to turn to the place in that scroll where it is revealed that Mordecai had warned of a plot to kill him. You remember that, don't you? We see the providence and the word of God, and we see the providence in our life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. We sang that hymn just a few minutes ago. God's providence. How God brought you under the gospel. How he brought me under the gospel. God's providence. How he brought you to your wife or to your husband. Providence. Providence. You young people here tonight, God's providence in putting you in a family that love the Lord, that bring you here to hear the gospel. When many children are born in homes where the only thing they ever hear is blasphemy. God's providence. He leads us. What about Onesimus? Runaway slave. Runaway to Rome. And in God's providence, he crosses the path with the Apostle Paul and hears the gospel, and God saved him. Here's the third thing, briefly. The pillar of the cloud never failed Israel. Look back here at our text here in Exodus chapter 13. The pillar of the cloud never failed Israel. Now you think as you read through the Pentateuch, how many times did the nation of Israel fail and they began to murmur and they began to complain? They didn't like the food. They didn't like the way. Too hard, too rough. How many times did we read about them complaining? But you know, this pillar of cloud, it was above them until they reached, or they crossed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, over 40 years. How many times have you and I, no doubt, provoked the Lord by our lives, by our actions, and yet his boundless grace, he continues to look over us, and nothing can quench his love for us. If it could, if God's love for his people could be quenched, I'll just confess, it would have been quenched for me a long time ago. And I know you feel the same. No, just like this pillar followed them until they reach the land, and until we reach heavenly Canaan. God's going to continue to guide and lead us. I ask David to lead us in this last hymn, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to doubt and fear?" No, don't you thank God tonight for his love and mercy and his goodness, his providence? Let's stand as we sing. What